Smart driving driven by King Price Insurance. It is time now to check in with Pig Spotter Cliff Pinter. How are you, Cliff? Nice to see you, dude.
Good morning, very well, and you?
Yeah, lekker, man.
Awesome.
So last week went very well. People are all terrified thanks to Howard Dembowski.
Yeah.
He put the fear of God into us about what is going to happen with Arto. I see since then there have been some developments.
Yes, they have, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of those. Maybe we get Howard in here again. But this morning you want to give us some very particular information. You got to know your rights when you're pulled over in a roadblock, when you get fined, when you're in a crash, when you're involved in one of these horrible hit and runs, or if you're involved in a hijacking. Can you really say that you're in the know with road safety? Well, we're kicking off episode 2 of Smart Driving with Pig Spotter, our new 4-part series that will focus on road safety, driver's rights, practical information, and consumer advice just for you. Each week, Smart Driving will interview experts and professionals in the fields of law, emergency response, road safety, and so much more. Among these will be the co-host of the segment. You've already met him. You've probably seen him on Twitter. He's very famous, and he knows more about this world of the roads than almost anyone else in South Africa. Cliff Pig Spotter Pinto, South Africa's best known and most trusted online personality when it comes to road use and driving in South Africa.
Thank you. That's a very nice intro. Thank you.
Well, you deserve it.
I'll need that for my bio.
You work very hard. Okay, so let's talk quickly about your rights. So if you're pulled over by SAPS or the Metro Police.
Yeah. Okay, so basically you are allowed to request to see the officer's appointment card. Okay, now this will obviously have its details.
But most people don't want to do this because they're going to antagonize the cop.
Sure. No, look, it all depends on the demeanor of the police officer.
Okay.
Like, for example, some of them, they are supposed to wear the name badges. But according to the MMC of Public Safety, Mr. Michael Sun, he's actually stated that they don't like to wear the name badges because the pin apparently hurts them.
Oh.
Okay.
So that they then feel like they don't need to wear it. So then they remove that. So then there's absolutely no way for you to know exactly who it is that you're busy speaking to. So a lot of people actually then have the right to ask for to see the officer's appointment card.
Well, I mean, because we also live in a country where people pretend to be police officers.
Absolutely. We have fake blue lights.
Right. Yep. We were just talking about that in the news now.
Yep.
So you actually have a right to ask for that officer's appointment certificate.
Absolutely. And if the officer does refuse to do it, or to show you the officer's appointment card, anything that they do thereafter is actually unlawful. So if they do arrest you for, say, for example, drink and driving and so on, because that process wasn't followed and you did request that, whatever they do thereafter is actually unlawful.
But you should really continue to comply so that you can pursue this situation.
Absolutely. Obviously, you don't want to antagonize them and, you know, bring abuse upon yourself. Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So are you allowed to film or photograph officers?
You are allowed to do so. But obviously, you don't want to put the phone up in their face and, you know, that's just, again, going to bring on more abuse and potentially get the phone knocked out of your hands and so forth. So you want to try and do it as discreetly as possible. Personally, whenever I do get pulled over in a roadblock, I immediately, if I see I'm going through a roadblock, I take my phone out, put the voice recorder on, and then leave the phone in my lap with the microphone facing upwards. So if there is any conversation, I've got some kind of something to go back on.
But don't make it like aggressive.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And don't antagonize either.
Do they always have a right to search your vehicle?
If there's a reasonable, something reasonable. So, for example, if you're driving around at 2 o'clock in the morning and I suppose you're like swerving from side to side. There's potential that there was alcohol consumed or there was some drugs consumed. So then they'll have a right to search your car. But it has to be a very quick, brief search. So, for example, they'll open the glove box, have a look inside. Okay, that's fine. They're not allowed to go through your phone. They're not allowed to go through your wallets. So it's just a very quick search that they're allowed to do.
Okay.
But obviously, there are some roadblocks, the big ones, you know, where you see there's 6 cars on the side of the road and everyone's getting pulled over, where they're actually pre-authorized to search your cars completely. So
they almost have like a legal permission to do this.
Yeah, like a warrant to be able to search every single vehicle that they do pull over. And that's obviously more serious offenses that they're trying to pick up on.
So they will ask you often to provide your name and address for identification reasons, as well as your driving license. And you need to have your driving license on you, otherwise you can't.
Absolutely. I mean, that's legal, that's law anyway. So everyone should have that. But also not giving them that kind of information, that's just stupid, really, because you're literally going to be putting yourself in the dog box.
Sure.
You're going to raise suspicion upon yourself for no reason whatsoever.
Now, what if they find that you have an outstanding license? What are they allowed to do and what are they not allowed to do?
Look, okay, well, if... now, do you mean license with regards to driver license or vehicle?
Sorry, not license, fines. If you have outstanding fines.
Well, if you have outstanding fines, the only thing they can do is actually print off those fines for you and give you the fines. So listen, there you go. These are your outstanding fines. Unless, of course, there's a warrant out for your arrest. Now, a warrant out for your arrest would only be with regards to the auto fines that you have received from a cop, or one that perhaps was left on your windscreen if you parked illegally. Then those are like deemed as served licenses or served fines, which you can be prosecuted for, which they can issue a warrant for your arrest. All these other ones that came through in the post, or that weren't collected by you in the post office, there cannot be a warrant issued for your arrest on that.
What about blood alcohol level? I mean, I don't know why anyone would be driving drunk anymore. It's a stupid thing to do. You put yourself and other people in huge danger. But what are the rules? Are they allowed to breathalyze you if they suspect that you've been drinking?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, you actually, it's illegal for you to actually refuse to have a breathalyzer test done. And legally, they have to breathalyze you within 2 hours of the arrest. Your blood alcohol level limit has to be below 0.05 per 100 mils of blood. And the breath alcohol limit is 0.24 milligrams per liter of breath. If you're anything above that, they're legally allowed to arrest you straight then. And like I said, you're not allowed to refuse to be breathalyzed.
And if it got to the point where a cop wanted to search me, for instance,
yes.
Would I just allow that?
Females can only be searched by female officers. Because otherwise, I mean, it could be construed as sexual harassment if the police officer tends to take things a little bit too far. But obviously, a lot of people don't know this. And, the officer, I've actually had personal complaints about an officer who's felt a lady up and she felt very violated. And another misconception, just something I wanted to bring up on the side, is a lot of ladies have this belief that they are allowed to drive through red robots, let's say after 10 o'clock at night, if they're driving on their own. This is a fallacy. It's not true. A lot of officers will actually turn their eyes, say, listen, okay, fine, we understand the risk of
a woman on your own.
Woman on your own.
But they can actually stop you and say you're breaking the rules of the road.
Absolutely, and give you a $500 fine. Oh. Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I wanted to talk to Vaynan van Vieren too. He's with King Price. He's going to tell us what you can do after a crash, because a lot of people don't know what the steps are that you should take. Hey, Vaynan, nice to talk to you. How are you, man?
Morning, Gareth. Good, and you?
Yeah, lovely. Obviously, we're in a good mood now and everything's going well, but you could have an accident any time, and people don't always know what to do, plus you panic when that happens. So while we're all paying attention and we're not in danger, and we're all hopefully going to take some notes after this so we know what situation we find ourselves in and how we can get out of it. What are the right things to do after a crash?
Yeah. So I want to go a little step back, sometimes we wait up until that point. You're in the crash, you're on the scene of the accident, and then things can go haywire. And then you realize that you never kept your emergency numbers with you. So if you're insured or whether you're not insured, the first thing to do is also to make sure, that what you take with you, that you've got what you need. If you're stuck on the side of the road, who are you going to phone? If there's an accident, who's the first people to phone to and make sure that you get help there as soon as possible? Mm-hmm. We also see nowadays that getting stuck on the side of the road can be very dangerous. You can be mugged or hijacked there. We've seen accidents often happen where people are lying there after an accident occurred, and the people that are lying there, they are robbed, and so it can really get hectic. You must make sure that you can get assistance as quickly as possible. But okay, so say an accident did occur now. The first thing that I always say is safety first. I don't know if you have seen an airbag deployed. There's that white smoke or powder in the car. Mm-hmm. And for a few seconds, you can't see around you what's going on.
Right.
There might be oncoming cars. There might be other dangers like fire. So the first thing for me is to observe and to make sure, is it safe now to get out of this car? And if the next thing that I'm going to do, will it not put my life further in danger?
Right.
Okay, so then you can take calculated decisions. So in terms of the Road Traffic Act also tells us what to do and what we may not do. So if you are involved in an accident or you caused an accident, you have to bring your vehicle to a stop.
Yep.
And you can't just drive off and say, oh, sorry, and wave, sorry, or sorry, you know, we've also seen that in the past. And then the step thereafter is to check if anyone is injured. Anyone in your car or anyone, mm-hmm. any third party, someone in another car on the scene, if it's safe. Mm-hmm. And if there are injuries, you know, give help those injured as far as possible as well. That is required of you by, in the Road Traffic Act. Then it's also, you have to determine what damages were caused there on the scene, and then you have to give your details and also obtain the third party's details. And that will include ID numbers, registration of the vehicles involved, I take an address, and you know, nowadays, everyone has got a cell phone with him that can take photos. It's a good thing, you know, before the vehicles are moved there on the scene, you take your cell phone, take photos of the damage, take photos of where the vehicles are standing in an intersection or, you know, on the road. Then you've got that evidence and no one, you know, later it's very useful if your insurer or your attorney is going to, you know, take legal action against the third party to recover your losses again. And then you've got the facts nicely covered there. And then it's further determined that you have to report the matter to the police as soon as possible.
Yep.
And make sure that you also get that police report number. And then you may also not take any substance with a narcotic effect or alcohol after the accident occurred if it's not administered by a medical doctor. It's something that's very important. Now you're there on the scene of the accident, and it's very soon there will be a few towing services who just want to tow your car away.
Right. This is where people get confused. Yeah. So what do you do? Do you ignore these people? Do you tell them to get out? Do you only talk to your insurer? I mean, who do you speak to?
It's very important what you do there. What I recommend is that if you are insured, phone your insurer and speak to them yourself, that you can get, you know, that authorization of who may take your car, because then you know exactly where your car is going to be taken to. And that from there onwards, you're not going to look for your car and later have to pay exorbitant or, you know, they extort you, you know, for big amounts. If you're not insured, make sure that you have a written agreement on the scene of what the towing is going to cost, where the vehicle is going to be taken to, what storage cost they're going to charge you, and if there's any recovery necessary of the car, it might lie there on the side in a ditch or so, you know, and they have to pull it up. What they're going to charge you for that. You know, if there's not an agreement, they may easily come and say, listen, now you owe us 25,000 rand for the recovery of the vehicle and 2 days storage, and you're going to have to pay that, you know, before you're going to get the vehicle. And that might also be.
This is terrible because you might still be in shock from the accident. I mean, it's a terrible time to take advantage of people, and really it shouldn't be allowed. But in that moment, you've got to be clear enough to make sure that you're aware of these details, that you take down their details, that you make sure there's an agreement in place. And if not, don't let them, right?
Yes, no, definitely. You see, so you might also be in circumstances where you're injured to the point that you're just taken away by, you know, an ambulance or so, and you're not in control of any of this.
Yeah.
So then I won't worry. I mean, always your life is first priority. What I also make sure of is your insurer will also give you a sticker that you can put on the side window of your car. And, you know, the towing services can also, the police can see, listen, this car is insured parking price. There's an emergency number, phone it and get the authorization of where a car should be moved
to. Sure. I'll tell you what, I mean, what I would actually also suggest is the people could actually even phone the insurers right now and actually make a checklist. Say, listen, if I am ever involved in a crash, who do I contact? What do I do? Yeah. What steps do I need to do? What information do I need to get?
Yeah.
And then, they know exactly what to do.
All right, so here's what you do. This is your homework. If you're listening to this now thinking, oh, God, I'm never going to remember this stuff, then phone your insurer after this and say to them, listen, I need to go through the checklist. What do I do if there's an accident? And then just keep it somewhere.
Absolutely, in the glove box.
Store it on your phone. I mean, people have notes on their phones, so you might want to put it all there. Put the names, the places, the people, all those things that you need to pay attention to, then you don't have to stress. Because you know what? Bumper bashings do happen. Not all of these accidents are hugely serious. But the more evidence you have, the more thoroughly you go through your checklist, the less likely you are to end up with problems.
Or repudiated claims. Yeah.
There we go. Or repudiated claims. So one thing that came up on Twitter, and Cliff asked this, if you're involved in an attempted hijacking, would your insurance cover the damages of your vehicle if you are trying to get away and you bump into things?
Yes, are you talking to me, Gary?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? What happens?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you see, so you covered for any damage due to hijack. Now, in circumstances where you try and avoid that, you are definitely acting with due care and precaution because you take the reasonable care after that insurable interest.
Mm-hmm.
So you will definitely be covered for that damages. I mean, what do you want? You don't want your client just to give the car away and leave it, you know. But if you can get away from that, that's the best thing to do.
Okay, but
and that's why I always recommend that you keep, when you stop at an intersection or in the traffic, distance between you and the car in front of you. So if there's anything suspicious that you can get out there, and if you then have to go over a curb or something like that, you know, where your suspension is going to get damaged or your car is going to get scratched, then so be it, and your insurer will repair that. Hmm. But don't just sit there and wait, you know, for things to happen.
Sure. Well, listen, I've actually got a side question just on that topic. So when I raised that question on Twitter, we had video footage of this lady who was being mugged in her driveway. And we saw the four guys coming in. We saw her reversing, hitting the gate, hitting the wall at the back, and actually even crashing into the hijacker's vehicle. So we had a lot of lovely footage.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and then I put the question out there, and you guys were actually the very first insurance company to actually respond and say, you know, we would cover that. My question to you now is, if there was no video footage, if there were no other witnesses, would it still be covered?
Yes, because you know the client can still explain to you what happened there. If you drive into a driveway, we see that every day where that is a vulnerable spot. Another something else that I want to recommend there is if you wait for a gate to open, you know, never turn right in front of the gate so that there's no way to go forward. Sure. I also wait in the road, open the gate, and once it's open, then you can drive in and close the gate immediately.
Yeah, otherwise, you're trapped.
But, so we know it. Yeah. You must try and avoid those scenarios. And if you wait in the road like that, you will see suspicious vehicles coming from behind. But then it can't block you in anymore. Mm. If you see there's someone getting out of that car, you can drive away, you know, and still get out of that scenario. But now we know it does happen. So if the client comes to you and say, listen, I turned into this driveway, then this car came and blocked me from behind.
Yeah.
I knew I could see, you know, suspicious people getting out of the car. I've put my 4x4 in reverse and you know, take them out of the way. I mean, that is the best thing. It's always first the client's safety also. Mm-hmm. And if those are the measures taken, I would like to see an insurance company who's going to say, you know, that they're not willing to repair those damages for you.
Vaynant, just hold on one second for us. Kerry, hey, good morning.
Hey, Gareth.
What's up?
I just wanted to share quickly about an accident I found. This was actually after I had an accident, and, you know, in the moment you kind of panic and don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's called Parachute, and I know it works because I've bumped it by mistake. I've removed it off my quick access bar now. But what it does is it immediately starts the video recording.
Okay.
And it uploads it to the cloud, and it also phones emergency contacts for you automatically to let you know something's going on and send some texts. But the cool thing is that after the fact, you're able to access that recording because they store it on the cloud for a little while. They'll pop your mail. And then so, like, if something happened to your phone or someone took your phone and it got damaged, it's always there. And you just literally hit the tap the app, and it automatically starts.
So is this an app called Parachute?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Kerry. Hmm. All right. There's something handy as well.
That would work in a roadblock situation as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
For recording.
So, Vaynant, is it typical to see a rise in crash statistics when we go into the festive season or Easter? I mean, how or what do you recommend drivers should do to avoid becoming another statistic?
Yeah, Gareth, you know, it's unfortunately so, specifically in Easter, you know, we, in the last few years, we've seen more than 500, you know, deaths on our roads only in accidents. And, you know, so you are really exposed in times like this. What people sometimes don't know is that, you know, it's in previous years, in 2017, it was 143 billion rand that accident, the cost of accidents, took out of our GDP, which was more or less 3%. Jeez. And if we now, we say, you know, we're pointing fingers at things going wrong in the country, mm-hmm. but sometimes you see a car driving in front of you and it's looking like the person might be drunk. If you go next to him, you see he's actually on his cell phone.
Yeah.
It's been tested several times now where there was clear statistic that 25% of the accidents on our roads are caused by the use of cell phone.
Wow.
If your attention is drawn from the road, and it was very accurately done also by an application that can, you know, with accelerometer, you can see if there was usage on the phone when the accident actually occurred. And if we can do away with 25% of accidents by just saying, listen, I make a commitment to my children, to my wife, to my loved ones, you know, that my car is a cell phone free zone. I will refuse to look on that phone. You know, myself, I test myself some days and I say, listen, today you will not even peep towards your phone to see from a word of WhatsApp that came through. And it's so difficult. You have to actually have to put it away or put it off not to do things like that. And if we can get ourselves that far, you can already take that 25% chance away of becoming in an, going, you know, into an accident. But you've touched also on the alcohol earlier. Avoid alcohol completely. You know, I'm a 6'5" guy, 90 kilograms, and I won't even take a chance if I've eaten to have a second beer and then go onto the road.
Yeah.
That limit is very low. If you get pulled over, you sit with a criminal record for the rest of your life and your life, and you put other people's lives also in danger. Then the speeding thing, that is a big problem in our country as well. You know, if you keep your speed down, you also put yourself in a position where you can take evasive action. If there's a car, if you're coming over a hill and there's a car on your side of the road, you know, you're already not going fast. You can slow down as quickly as you can and go off the road. I was in a scenario like that. Luckily, I was alone in my car following another car where we just came over this hill on my way to Sudwana a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, we were both slow enough that we could brake and just go off the road. We sat there stunned by this scenario that just happened with a truck on your side of the road.
Wow.
Now, if you had speed there, you're definitely going to roll the car and you know, make a big accident.
Well, Vaynant, thank you very much. I'm afraid that's all we got time for this morning. Vaynant is with King Price Insurance, and he can help answer your questions this morning. Hopefully, we've covered most of them.
Cliff? Absolutely. I think so. I think this is pretty productive.
There he is, Pig Spotter, and thank you very much to Vaynant as well for joining us this morning. He is Vaynant van Vuuren at King Price Insurance, and some useful tips, some useful information. Phone your insurer after this, make a checklist.
Absolutely.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Cliff. Can you really say that you're in the know with road safety? Well, we are into our series on smart driving with Pig Spotter. It's a four-part series, so we've got two more to come that will focus on road safety, driver's rights, practical information, and consumer advice that's just for you. It's brought to you by King Price Insurance. Smart driving, driven by King Price Insurance.